There is a problem. Can anybody solve the problem?
What's the problem?
Is Adel here?
Yes.
Adel Volokhin?
Yes.
Be seated, please. She brought me today one piece of beautiful chocolate, which is not a chocolate. And I ate a little of it and it has made another man of me. Now another man would like to have another packet. So how to solve this problem? No, I can't ask you again because you already brought one. Yes, yes, he gave me, I ate a part of it.
How much did Jack eat before he gave it to you?
This time he was rather busy, otherwise he would have half finished it and given the rest to me. No, he doesn't do that. He dare not do that. Now let me tell you, I am very happy to meet you all here. You who have come from such long distances with all the care and concern to hear about Baba, I always feel that it is because of him that we are known in many parts of the world, and people come, hold their hands and give respect. Sometimes the thought comes to me that this respect really not may tickle the ego to an extent that it may spoil me, which can never happen, because the training that Baba has given to the close mandali is so unique, so simple to look at, so undemonstrative, that nothing can change them, nothing can tarnish them, nothing can heighten their ego. There are others who have noticed, who have come into contact with Baba for a short while. They are parading themselves, some of them in India, I do not know about the Western world, as something very high above the rest of the other Baba lovers, something very important to the extent of that, saying that he is the perfect master and so forth. So I am very happy. I am doubly happy that in spite of the respect that Meher Baba Mandali, old Mandali of Meherazad and Meherabad and Ahmadnagar, they get from others, they really do not make them drunk of anything at all. And that is what one should really, that is the one thing one should take an example of. And everyone should feel that everyone is a Baba lover, and really there is no difference between the Mandali and them, excepting for the fact that Mandali has a long contact, and that long contact can also be achieved even if Baba is not present in the body, by thinking of him and loving him more and more and being obedient to him. Now today again I will begin. Of course we have an informal meeting, which I always like better than the formal meetings, by a small prayer. In the name of the highest of the high, who lives in the hearts of all beings at all times, everywhere, and who resides as the nucleus of all things at all times, everywhere, Meher Baba Kutub-e Alam Mazhar-e Noor-e Khuda Mard-e Haq Insan-e Kamil Tajdar-e Dosara. O Meher Baba, you are the hub or the center of the whole universe. You are the manifestation of the light of God. You are the man of God. You are the perfect man. And you are the crown king or the emperor of both the worlds. In his name we begin. These are the two lines out of the entire ghazal of 17 couplets, as we say, two lines make one couplet, by a Pakistani Baba lover who happened to attend the congregations that were held in Mehrabad in the 50s and was so deeply impressed that he wrote two books in Urdu on Baba. One was Sarode Javidan, that is the eternal song, and another Sahib Zaman, means the avatar. Those books could not be published, were not allowed to be published by the government of Pakistan, because they have their own views and they do not like anybody to be called the avatar. To their own messenger, as they say, Paigambar, Muhammad, they don't attribute the quality of being personification of God at all, much less to anyone from any other religion. So those, I got the printed forms of those books from Pakistan with the help of Meenu Kharas, an old and ardent Baba lover in Karachi, and got them published years ago in Ahmednagar, the cost of which was paid by one Mr. Gajwani, a rich man, a Baba lover who is no more, who happened to come to USA once, and probably some of you are, may have or may not have seen him. Those books are at present being translated into English by Nosherwan, the editor of GLOW, and maybe in time to come they may come in series or installments, may or may not, or in the book form of the English translations of the two books, in which some of the ghazals. He has written many things on spirituality, but some of the ghazals that he has written on Meher Baba are really very wonderful, and the two lines that I have recited, I just include it in a prayer, call it a prayer. These are the first two lines about Baba. So we begin today. There were some questions left to be answered on that meeting, and in my interviews I also someone asked me a certain questions, and I said you can ask me these questions when we meet together all. So, are any of those persons present here? Are there any questions to be asked? I will, yes.
You were going to speak about meditation.
Ah, wonderful. That's the way. Because I can't remember all the things at a time. And when I try to remember a subject as Meher Baba, I cannot call it a subject. He is our very being. Meher Baba is so vast that I do not know where to begin and where to end. And sometimes the ideas become so crowded that they try to supersede each other and fight amongst them, creating a confusion for myself as to which idea would come first and which idea would come next. So it becomes a problem. Now meditation is such a beautiful subject indeed. It has all its advantages and disadvantages. Once a question was asked to me by some Indian that Baba denounces meditation. I said no. It's a gross misinterpretation of Baba's messages that Baba denounces meditation. Baba denounces nothing at all. Baba even does not denounce yoga. But the way that yoga is practiced is absolutely, it could be called no yoga at all. Baba has his way of even saying something about yoga. In the theme of Baba's spirituality, there is no yoga, there is no meditation at all. They are not bad. But if they have to be, somebody is used to all his life or half of his life, somebody has a liking for them, then they are not bad, but they should know how to do it. And if you really make a mess of that meditation and of that yoga, then better, you should not have touched them with a pair of tongs. Keep aloof. What is the good of a razor in the hand of a monkey? What will the monkey do if he has a razor in his hand? Will he shave himself? Or shave somebody, or cut his throat, or the throat of one or two other persons, we do not know. So meditation is a very beautiful subject. Now let me tell you right in the beginning that meditation is not the subject of Meher Baba at all. He may have given some explanations or a discourse or a two and classified meditations, given different categories of meditations in discourses he has done, but he has never asked to do meditation. Just as he has given a lot of description about the perfect masters and the Satpurushas, the yogis and so forth, Baba has never asked us to go and follow a perfect master, look for a perfect master at all. They were merely certain things explanatory to those persons who were not probably Baba lovers and who were involved in these things, that they should take a caution and correct their way or method of if they are involved into such meditations or yoga. For a Meher Baba lover, if meditation has to be, it has not to be, first of all. And if it's had to, it has to be, then there should be nothing else except Meher Baba. And what is Meher Baba? As much as I know of him, I know his body, because I may have seen, may not have seen, I have seen his picture, but his picture is the true replica of his body. So I can concentrate that. On the face, on the center of the eyebrows, or on the head, or his entire face, or his peacefulness, his discourse, his blissfulness, his knowledge, his presence, and love him, that's all. This is the only meditation. And you can take up your mind in the mood in which it is at a time when you start meditation. There is no restriction whatsoever of putting your leg across, or putting your leg around your neck, or standing on your head, or standing on your arms. All these acrobatics, they are really useful for one's health. For the matter of meditation, they should not be taken recourse to, because what happens is we forget the meditation and concentrate more on our postures, whether the posture is correct. God does not look to your posture, whether it is this way or that way. He looks to your heart and is love. That is the most essential thing. And yogas are meant for what? To evoke that love of God or love of the avatar in your heart. And if it doesn't succeed, it is of no good at all. It remains as a science, as a acrobatics, as any other would be. So if meditation has to be for some spiritual gain, as you really feel, it is not there at all in the scheme of Baba's things. I will tell you, because other practices and things are more practical. And if it has to be, it has to be only on him, the avatar, the king of kings, the center, the hub of the whole universe. And for all times, perfect master comes and goes. He is disconnected with illusion later on. He is the only one who comes over and over again, and the same self, same one. This is a concept, sir, not easy to digest for people who have not been acquainted with Meher Baba. And this is the one thing we have to din into their heads. But with a touch of love, we can't go and take a nail and hammer into his head. Because no coercion, no force, the only way we have to bring home the fact is through love and nothing else. The greatest medium that Baba has chosen for his work is only love and love alone. So our meditation has to be entirely centered around him. It may be his work. It may be a story I may have heard about Meher Baba going out in a must in a car or so forth. It may be his film. It may be anything. What is meditation? We are all sitting now and I am talking to you. This is also meditation. Meditation, as explained by Baba, is a subject around which we revolve all the time. There are many things pertaining to that subject. The central subject, the theme is... Now our central subject here is Meher Baba, and we will be talking of so many things. We are said to be meditating. This is not out of the range of meditation at all. For you to set aside 1 hour, half hour, 15 minutes or 2 hours in a day is not bad. But one doesn't usually find time. And what happens is, there is a certain ego in his, oh, I have been meditating for 1 hour every day. I am a meditator. Others are not. You are not a meditator. I am a meditator. Meditating for the last so many years. What do you think? Can you compare yourself with me? Not at all. So on one hand, all the meditation that you do, and on the other hand, that heightening sense of ego you have, you throw dust on your meditation. Nothing else. Why should we do meditation? To evoke love of God. And to evoke love of God, to efface ourselves. This is the central theme of spirituality. If anything and everything that you do really do not help you to efface yourself, then nothing is done. You may do many, many things and you may feel to have been benefited at all, but you have really done nothing in the sense of doing anything to have the experience of that final reality. There are many things on the path. They can attract your attention. They can give you a sense of peacefulness for the time being also. But that doesn't stay long at all. It comes and goes. And anything that comes and goes is never permanent. It was as well, it was not there. What is the good of my going after a thing which is there with me today and tomorrow not? So it's better for me to wait for an infinite long time to get something once gotten, never lost. And this is Meher Baba. No compromise. He says he is everywhere, he can give you anything and everything you want. So you have to decide and ask for what you want. So this is the meditation for a Baba man, as I have talked about. Now, regarding other meditations, transcendental meditation, transcendent meditation, transcontinental meditation, transmigrating meditations, and all the sorts of meditations are really for any spiritual benefit. Don't talk to me at all. No, anything unearthly is not spiritual. Between the earth and real spirituality, there are many things which are not spiritual. They are absolutely earthy. They are made of particles, they are very rarefied forms of particles. They are neither in the subtle nor in the physical, and they are in between the two. It's suspended animation of spirituality, you can call it. Neither here nor there. Just as one man says, na khuda hi mila na visale sanam na idhar ke rahe na udhar ke rahe. Neither did I get God nor got the world, and I am suspended between the two. So there is a space between the two. Most mischievous. Most blinding. Most harmful. And from it emanates all the nonsensical things of like miracles, like communication with the dead, like planchettes, and many, many things. Ghosts come in the bodies of somebody, a man, and dancing. I have seen all these things myself. So to a Baba man, these things should not create any deep impression at all, because they are nothing in themselves. It is a passage. It is a fusion point between the gross and the subtle. And it is a thing in which a man gets caught up, he becomes suspended. Just as a man is executed and his body remains suspended, in like manner he remains there in a state of great suffering. As a man when he dies means he commits suicide or meets with an accident, you don't know that a man who dies before the prescribed time for him to have lived in this gross world, then he remains suspended between the subtle and the mental. And that's what the theosophists call astral. Baba called it semi-subtle. Semi-subtle world. Now let us see what meditation others really do. Apart from the meditation that we concentrate on, Baba is an entirely different thing, in the sense that my subject matter is so universal, so vast, is the avatar himself, that anything and everything that I think about him, I am bound to get that response, because he is the ocean of love. That is not the case with other meditations at all. There are formulas, there are figures, there are many, many things, there are even God's names. I don't say they are really bad. But to expect some spiritual game out of meditations, no. And I will tell you how. I can prove it to you from Baba's explanations. A man is ever and anon is embedded in the physical consciousness. And unless the master's grace is there or blessings is there, his consciousness cannot take an about turn, and he cannot focus his light of consciousness on his inner self at all. It is always externalized. Even the consciousness of the greatest meditator is externalized. But what happens during meditation is that when he meditates, he cannot snatch himself away from the physical consciousness, but he sees some things, many, even subtle things he may see. And those subtle things are not seen through the subtle eyes. That is why his experience is not valid. He sees subtle things with the physical eyes, with the physical sense. We have a subtle body, we have subtle senses. We have physical body, we have physical senses. But only when through physical senses we see the physical world, then the experience is valid. If we see through the physical eyes the subtle world, the experience is not valid, because I call it a cross breed of consciousness. Just as a man sitting on the top of a mountain, another sitting at the bottom of a mountain, both cannot, whatever transpires between the two persons cannot be called a normal experience at all, because very the sight of one another is not normal, let alone the noise or voice each other may catch from each other. Experience is always valid. The two persons, the subject and the object concerned, are both on the same plane of consciousness. This has to be remembered. Now, what yoga does is, he gets all the experiences. He thinks that he's gone into the subtle world, but it is not so. He sees the objects of the subtle world, but through the lens of his physical consciousness. Objects are really very new. And they are attractive, they are alluring. And he thinks he is rising. Nothing of that sort. He is embedded in the physical consciousness. He cannot snatch himself off it unless he is graced by the master. He gets peacefulness, yes.
Yeah, this is somewhat on the subject. I have a friend who has been sleeping under a pyramid for 3 years, and he's really into it. He thinks it's going to advance him spiritually, and the fact that I don't want to continue sleeping under a pyramid.
Under what?
Sleeping.
How can I tell?
Sleeping under a pyramid, huh?
He doesn't know what that means.
Yes, I got it. You go ahead, sir. No, I could not catch that word, pyramid.
Pyramid.
Yes, I understand, yeah. Pyramid.
Yeah.
Then go further.
Do you think I'm being closed-minded? Is there anything I can tell him, or do I just sort of, you know...
You tell him that the pyramid that he puts on the top of him makes him closed-minded. He is covered by the pyramid. You see, a madman always calls another madman a madman. Have you seen?
Is there
a sane man is called by the madman. I have gone to a mental hospital, and I have seen a madman calling a sane man as madman. He himself is mad. He calls somebody else mad. Yes. Yes.
I guess that's like having one foot on the other side of the line from obeying Baba, is it not?
It is not disobeying Baba, but it's a waste of energy. That time you can utilize for meditating on Baba. So again I say, meditation is not bad, but meditation is not for us Baba lovers at all. And if there has to be, it should be only on Baba. Who is the way, who is the goal, who is the avatar for all times. Any other question? Yes.
Who was that man that was meditating all the time in Abhinagar? He said he doesn't like Baba's haste.
Yes, I will tell you. Which is this chair you have put? I don't know. This back is most comfortably uncomfortable for me.
That usual chair?
I don't know.
That little one, somebody put it there.
That small one is all right. What's the good of this? Come in.
How about the rocker?
Dana?
How
do you
want
your chair?
You want your chair?
No rocker.
You need a
pyramid. Simple. There was a yogi in Ahmednagar.
What is that?
Please listen. There was a yogi in Ahmednagar, who was a Baba lover in the latter part of his life. Baba lover is in his own way, and who was also utilized for teaching the boys, the Babajan school that Baba had opened at Mehrabad. He was my friend, he was a very nice man. He used to meditate for 14 to 16 hours a day and took food only once in 24 hours. He was a very nice, pure man. And one day, many a times he used to come to my office, and he had also started observing silence when Baba had asked him to do so. But his silence was rather very peculiar, because he used to just hold his tongue like this and speak. That is, it is neither a speech nor silence between the two. It is something like an astral plane, neither subtle nor physical. One day this man came and we had a very interesting talk with him. So his name was Borkar, Mr. Borkar. Mr. Borkar Bua. Bua is a word of respect, just like Baba. So I told Borkar Bua, you have been meditating, using up so much of your time, 14 to 16 hours a day, and a strict discipline of taking food once. What is the purpose for which you do? What is it for you do? Oh, peacefulness, peacefulness. I want all peacefulness. Oh, peacefulness. I thought he would say that he wants God realization. I would say something, higher consciousness, something, nothing of that sort. But he was only after peacefulness. I said, wonderful. All these years, how much peacefulness have you gained, can I ask you? Oh, I gained very, I feel peaceful. But I don't like any confusion. And this is the one thing of Meher Baba I do not like, he creates a confusion. I would rather miss a train than create a confusion and make haste, because I can't stand confusion. I said, wonderful is your peacefulness, that if it is confronted with a little confusion, it is not able to take it at all. And your peacefulness falls into pieces. So what is that peace you are following? I do not understand. We are the persons, never meditated, and yet we can stand so much of confusion, so much of haste in our life. Not that a man should always go on making haste, but you can, if you are sometimes confronted, you can face it. He says, yes, you are. Then he asked me, what is it should I have really aspired for? At least with all this meditation, you aspire for some dynamic love. Some dynamism in it, something which can be practically put into use in your life. Yes, this is my way. He said, very nice man. He folded his eyes, hands and said, yes, this is my life. He met me. He was my great friend. After all, we had a very cordial discussion. So that is this. I again say that Baba has said he has not come to displace anything in the world. There is nothing against this meditation or yoga we have to say. But we have surely to point out where it stands. That is all. For the matter of health, you can use all the asanas of yoga, doesn't matter. Even for this certain peacefulness of mind, you can use it. But to expect a spiritual uplift out of it, then I'm not prepared to say anything further about it. Any other question? Yes.
Arjun, would you give the definition of spirituality?
Spirituality, as explained by Baba, is a state of consciousness in which the world and your body entirely disappears from you. It has no hold on you. You do not experience it. It is completely obliterated from you. Not that it ceases to exist, but your mind takes an about turn. And the floodlight of your consciousness, which now at present is falling upon your body and the world, really speaking, that's a misutility of consciousness. The consciousness has evolved in your body in order to be thrown on your real self, to have the experience of real self and enjoy I am God state. Instead of that, it got caught up in it. Like, as I say, a scaffolding was built to raise up a wall. And the wall was complete. But I was so caught up with the scaffolding that even after the wall was complete, I forgot my aim and object of life. I embraced the scaffolding and gave up the wall. This has been the state in which we are caught up. So, when the focus of your consciousness takes a turn, and the world and the body remains as it is. It functions by the forces of life, but you are not conscious of it at all. And then your focus falls on your inner life, and there is a path on the inner path, as Baba says, so many stages, second, third, fourth, five, six, seven. You have to traverse, go through, and reach the seventh. And the seventh is the one where you become conscious of everything and anything in the world. Nothing remains out of your consciousness. So spirituality begins where materiality ends. And where there is extreme contradiction, there the spirituality begins. At a point where there is extreme contradiction. So, a man who is not prepared to take up contradictions, if he wants to go into a spiritual life, and if he is not able to stand contradictions and tolerate contradictions, he is not fit for it. Because contradictions has no value at all. Contradictions which appear to you on an intellectual level, the contradictions are not there on the spiritual level at all. Any other questions, sir? Yes.
I was wondering why it appeared in Baba's earlier day that there was meditation times and meditation given, and how was that special then, and how is it different now?
Who gave?
That it was run
given by Baba.
An ashram.
It was given by Baba, isn't it?
Well, I read that, so it's my understanding that there is set times for meditation.
That is true, but who set time and who gave the meditation?
I don't know.
Meher Baba gave the meditation, undoubtedly. How would you not know? We stayed there all together under the bidding and the shelter of Meher Baba all the time, under his guidance and under his training. So it was his will and wish for the time being it had to be. That doesn't mean that I should go on doing meditation at all.
Why do you think it was special then?
Huh?
Why do you think it was
It was a time of the 40 persons who were there with Baba. He wanted to just wipe off their interest in the rest of the thing for the time being, so to divert their attention, he gave them this. And the meditation was nothing but Meher Baba, as I said. There was no other meditation excepting him. It was not a formula. It was not a special posture. It was not a special acrobatic, it was not an exercise, it was not a mental acrobatic. It was just sitting as you can. Anybody could sit in any way like. He could sit on the ground, squat on the ground, one leg here, one leg there, anywhere, most convenient to him. And just sit quiet, relax for 1 hour and only think of Baba and nothing else. That was it. Any other question? Yes. I can suggest many ways, but it must be suitable to you. If you ask me what is the way of taking food, I shall say I eat with my 5 fingers. You will say, no, I need a spoon and a fork. So spoon and fork are suitable to me, they are not suitable to me, they are suitable to you. So everybody should have its own ways. And there is no fixed way at all. You can do it the way you like. Baba has given certain norms about meditation. Although Baba has never said that you should do meditation at all. Now, why should we not do... Yes.
Excuse me.
No.
I just wanted to have my hand up 2 or 3 times. I didn't want to lose my turn.
No, then you come on, go ahead.
I'm not...
No, I will take up my point later. It doesn't matter.
Well, my question is totally different than this one.
Hmm.
No,
I'm only asking pertinent. Then you can ask this question later on. Because I'm now in the trend of this meditation, I want to explain. Now, why, ask me a question, why does Baba not approve that Baba like much that you do meditation? Why?
Well,
Yeah. I shall say. I will answer that question. Nobody asks why, I have to ask a question, I have to give a reply. If you really, Baba, one wants to do the meditation, there are many, many ways of doing the meditation which are more practical. There is no need for anyone to allot a certain time and sit in the corner and go on fighting with his thoughts or with his emotions, which may run hither and thither and may not be at a point at all, or may be at a point, I do not know. Why not repeat Baba's name or remember him at every spare moment you get in your life? You arise in the morning, before you go for your wash or you go to the bathroom, repeat his name. When you are in the bathroom, you repeat his name. When you come out, you repeat his name. When you are doing certain work which needs your concentration, do not split up your mind, as Baba says. Do the work on hand. And spare moment, then you remember him. Whole day you can do it. Whilst if you allot half an hour or 1 hour of your time, only that time you are occupying your meditation. When you come out again, you become as you were. But this is a continuous meditation, most practical. And many hours you may have even covered up, you do not know. And it doesn't come in the way of your practical work at all. You pick up a toothbrush, you remember his name. When you are brushing your teeth, you remember his name. When you are combing your hair, you remember his name. When you are driving, you can do it. But don't distract your attention. Baba doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be very practical. Take it easy and go on doing it. That is always the necessity of any other meditation. Now comes your question, ma'am.
It's become a very common practice in the last few years or in recent times, and many people are living together without the benefit of marriage. And I would like a clear statement from you.
Yes, it's very prevalent.
As far as the public is concerned, in any case, it's none of my business. But for Baba lovers, for spiritual aspirants, who want things.
Yes.
I wish you would give a clear instructions.
I have already said about this, and I will repeatedly tell you that for a Baba lover, man or a woman can have a boyfriend, a boy can have a woman friend, but no bed friend. That is the answer.
I didn't hear what you said.
Kindly explain to somebody.
I didn't understand.
Understand means, one can have the friendship, but no sex.
Well, this is it. No sex, I'm telling you, no promiscuity. Outside of marriage.
Marriage, of course, marriage is there, it's an exception.
Well,
marriage is allowed. There is, one is permitted to marry, but Baba doesn't permit promiscuity at all. And Baba also doesn't permit frequent divorces. Under such extenuating circumstances, sometimes a divorce becomes an inevitable thing, it is all right. But changing on from one wife to another becomes a secondary promiscuity. It is definitely not endorsed by Baba.
Value of having your past life read or going to psychics and that type of thing, or mediums, or people that say they can tell you who you were in your past life, why you're making mistakes now.
There is such a thing as psychics. And one can get also certain information. That is also true. How far accurate it would be or it would not be. But this is not helpful for a spiritual life. And it should not be indulged in by Baba lover. This is the thing. Somebody say it may not be harmful, I will say it's a waste of time. Why should you waste your time? If that was the case, Baba has given articles and discourses on this psychic business, but he has never asked her to practice it at all. And throughout his life, he has never encouraged anything at all. Even in India, there are people coming out with such strange statements, which we have never heard from Baba, and saying that they had long contact with Baba and Baba had said this and that and all nonsense, and they cannot impress us at all. Yes. On the other day, the meeting we had in the center, I had broached the subject of love and conviction. I'm coming to your point. There are some people who come forward and say, love, 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 you are talking about this love, we do not know, I do not understand, I do not feel it, I want to have it, I cannot get it. And what is this? It doesn't mean anything to me. To that person I say, if it doesn't mean anything to you, why do you ask a question about that love? If it doesn't concern you, why should you feel worried that you do not love Baba? So that means you want to love Baba. That means this is the beginning of your love for Baba, in whatever way it may be. The very fact that you say that you do not love Baba, that means you want to love Baba. Now, having tried so many times, you have failed, you have not succeeded, you have never gotten that love of Baba at all. All right, set aside that love. Keep it, take it to one corner and keep it there, cover it up, don't bother about that love. But you have a free will. You have the strength to decide on something in your life, because you have been doing. Supposing I want to go from here to the post office, and in the midst of my journey, I change my mind and I go somewhere else. I go to a cinema theater. Why do you do it? Because I have a free will and I can exercise it. Because I want to do it and I do it. In like manner, anything that you want to do it, you are capable of doing it. You have the faculty. You have the power. You have the strength to take a decision in your life, let alone love. And decide today to obey Baba. And Baba says that love is a gift from the master to the disciple and obedience is a gift from the disciple to the master. So if you are able to obey, then he will give you the gift of love immediately. Because in a way, obedience even is greater than love. So to that person to whom I gave this explanation, he didn't challenge that I can't take a decision. He says, it is difficult for me to take a decision. And another said, I am not able to take that decision. Then I say the same thing. When you say you are not able to take a decision, it doesn't mean that you are not able to, but you do not want to take the decision. When circumstances compel you, you take decisions. I do not want to change my house, but for some reason or the other, my house catches fire. And half of it is burned, I have to change the house. I take a decision immediately. Circumstances compel me. So you have the power and the force and the strength to change your decision. To change your decision, take any decision at any time you like. So decide now that you have to obey and forget about love and rest of all the things and see the result. One poet says, Yaar ke marzi kitabe, yaar ka dam bhar ke dekh. अर्ज मतलब करके देखा तर के मतलब करके देख यार के मर्जी किताबे सबमिट योर सेल्फ टू द विशेस एंड द विल ऑफ द मास्टर अर्ज मतलब करके ऑल अलोंग यू हैव बीन फॉलोइंग योर ओन डिजायर्स इंडल्जिंग इन योर ओन डिजायर्स टू गेट देम फुलफिल्ड Arja matlab ka, tarke matlab. Now, change it. And renounce those desires and see the result, see the fun of it. Why don't you do it? You have been following one way all the time. Go the other way and see, renounce it and see the result, how you feel about it. Yaar ke marzi ke taabe, yaar ka dam bhar ke dekh. Try to obey him and try to fill your very life with the breath of him, he says. And you have been following your desires, renounce them and see the fun, see the result. All along, you have been sacrificing yourself on the world means you have been following your desires, fulfilling your desires, worldly desires. Now, you have been killing yourself and dying on the world. He says you die in the world and see the fun. Not on the world, but in the world. It's a very beautiful way, poetic way of expressing in Urdu. That's why I'm translating in English. And see the fun of it. Maut phir ban jayegi tere liye ek zindagi, zindagi pe marne wale zindagi mein mar ke de. Then what will happen? The death of which the whole world is afraid of will become a life for you. You won't have any fear of this death at all. Any other questions? Yes?
You mentioned free will, and that recalls to me a story you told of Baba's explanation to you and some of the mandali about free will and grace,
mm-hmm.
and predetermination.
Uh-huh. What is the difference? Is it Baba's will or is it our will? Is that you want to ask?
There was a story of how Baba came into your discussion when you and the mandali were discussing it.
I do not exactly recollect which...
It was a story where Baba said, if I chose, I could, with a glance, transmute a rascal into
yes.
the highest
yes.
advanced soul.
But why doesn't he do it? I really don't know the story. But I can give you a lot of... Yes?
But isn't free will that's eliminating Baba's will, isn't it?
Huh? No. Everything is Baba's will, and within the domain of the Baba's will, our free will is given a dominant status.
He knows
it
best.
It is, yes, he knows best.
Yes.
But there is a certain freedom. I will give an example as I always do. Now, for instance, Meher Baba wishes you that you go from here to New York. That is his will. He sees that you board the train and go and sit in the train comfortably, and that at the other end you detrain and come out and reach New York. His will is completely fulfilled. Now, travelling on the way in the train, you may play cards, you may smoke, you may argue with somebody, you may fight with somebody, somebody is occupied in smoking all the time, another is occupied in drinking. That these details Baba don't observe. He has got a lot of work to do. Why should he bother himself with these small details? He has to look after the entire family of humanity in the world. So that little freedom is he leaves it to your free will. But in doing that, if you run amok, your free will runs amok, and you want to jump off the train, you get into that mood of madness or do something like this, which will interfere his will of reaching you in New York, then at once he will come in the picture, exercise it and halt the train or do something that your travel may not be obstructed and you reach New York according to his will. This is our will and that is his will. Is it clear to you or not? Free will is given by him. But we are given certain liberty to exercise it judiciously, yes?
Answer the other question. How you know when it's his will, how you know when it's your will? You posed the question.
I always hear you listening.
For that, to answer this question fully and adequately, I shall have to become Meher Baba myself. I will answer in my own way. But it is for each one to feel. If I ask you a question, were you ever in love? Yes, I was in love. Love with a man or love with my parents or love with anybody? Love with your friend, yes. How did you feel that love? How can I describe? You know best how you felt it because you were the person to feel it. So the man who has the free will, he has to feel it. He has to. I will explain you this. You will feel many things if you take Meher Baba seriously. If you take superficially or take Meher Baba as just a theory, nothing will be done. It will only touch your head. It will not go down in your heart. Neither it will come out through your actions. It is only when you take Meher Baba very seriously and wed your life with him, then you have the experience. Not the experience of twinkling stars or anything like yogic experiences, but within yourself you will feel what is, where is his will and where is my will, and what is his love and what is my love. What does he want me to do and what does he doesn't want me to do? And what are the things by which you will be pleased? What are the things by which you will be displeased? You feel it. It is very difficult for me to say that. One feels it. But provided, or else you will take discourses, read like newspaper and throw it away. The book will fall in dust for a number of days, and then again when you are in some trouble, you will remember Meher Baba, open that book and bring it on the table and go on dusting it off and just try to find where had I left the last chapter, where did I read, what was the page, what was the line, and you try to continue and you have already forgotten. This is not the way. You can't give a step motherly treatment to Meher Baba. And Meher Baba is not a theory like a yoga. Meher Baba goes deep down into your life, into your heart, into your actions, into your character. A yogi teaches you lessons and you go home, you pay his bill and finish. He doesn't ask you, who are your boy or girlfriends or who are your bed friends? Meher Baba will ask you. A yogi will not ask you. Maybe some may do, I don't know. They are not much concerned. When you go to Meher Baba, he is 100% concerned with your entire being, with your life, with your character, and with everything that belongs to you. So spirituality, when it really dawns on somebody, it's a complete change of the entire being. But the beauty of Baba is that he keeps you unaware of it all along, because he doesn't want you to get involved into certain experiences which are so alluring that it will mar your further progress, you will get involved in it. He doesn't want. He wants you to just suffer the ignorance. And Hafiz says, you are complaining about the ignorance. Hafiz says, you do not worry about the ignorance, but in ignorance lies the knowledge and in darkness lies the light. Hafiz says, I don't say. The perfect master says, in ignorance lies the knowledge and in darkness lies the light. And that is why I always harp upon this conviction, conviction, conviction. Everybody wants light. Another example I gave. It is easy to press the button and get the light, switch on and get the light. But it is not that easy, sir. The whole, this line from here to the lamp and the button is all backed up by the powerhouse miles away from here. The lines are laid, the poles are installed, and then the current comes from there and it enters. All this preparation is made, and then you press the button, you get the light. A superficial man says, oh, I saw one person pressing the button and getting the light, he got God realization, I will try. So what he does, he buys a piece of wire, he fixes it up, fixes up a switch and a lamp, and goes on pressing all his life, there is no light. There is no preparation, so how can he get the light? So preparation is required for everything. And when the preparation is complete, we need not even look at the lamp, it will automatically come and you will get the light. Most unaware. Suddenly, you will not know. So do not bother about the light, bother about your darkness and what you do in your darkness. In darkness I have done the dark deeds, sir. Yes.
He says he resides in our hearts.
Yes, sir. But we should know how to ask.
Yes.
You can ask through your heart. And before doing that, one has to wed himself with Meher Baba. One has to take him very seriously. One has to feel him, the breath of one's life. One has to look upon him as his sole protector, his being, his God, his everything. And then you can have the touch of him, and you can feel him, and you ask him, and you get an answer. Or it will be only like a putting up a wire and a lamp, and putting the switch on all the time, off and on, you won't get the light. There has to be preparation at the back of. So the preparation is this.
Bhai, would you speak of surrender to Bhai?
Surrender is almost an obedience, but surrender even succeeds obedience. I mean, exceeds obedience. See, surrender is such a difficult thing and so easy at the same time. Surrender means I don't exist. He exists for me. I don't exist for myself at all. Surrender is, this is my life. I bundled it up like this and hand it over to him. You take this life. Meher Baba, this is not my life. Is it possible? If at the time when I am handing over that life, I may get the thought of a girl and I will run after her, leaving this life alone. Because my desires are very powerful. So I say, you bundle up your life and hand it over to Meher Baba like this. Meher Baba, you take it and do whatever you like. Then he won't take it. He will take it, he will accept it. Depending upon how serious you are, he will take it. And then he will give back it to you, back to you. Now, this life is not yours, this is mine, Baba says. Be a guardian of this life. Be a trustee of this life. Don't look upon this. You are not the owner of your life. This is my life. And you become a trustee. So one has to be very careful because this is Meher Baba's life and I am a trustee. I have got all the responsibility to look up to. I can't squander away my time, my love or energy for anything except him. I cannot do anything which will displease him. This is surrender. One man comes to Meher Baba and says, I have got my wife and children, sir. I have renounced everything. Baba, do you know? I have brought them here. I just dedicate them all to you. Keep them. I want to surrender everything to you. But Baba, please keep my bank account intact for me. Everything else I give. This kind of surrender will not do. It will rebound. It will bounce on you again. That's why Baba always harps upon honesty, honesty, honesty and honesty. This honesty really, it is applicable in many, many ways in all acts of our life, but the greatest use of this application is in our relationship with Meher Baba. We can't afford to be honest in the remotest possible way. Because I might deceive myself, but I can't deceive him. I tried to deceive him once. in Manjilim in 1922. When I was very young, and I utterly failed, and I realized that I can't deceive him. Inadvertently, I may deceive myself, but I can't deceive him. So one has to be very honest.